Greetings once again, McBurney here, and you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the Worldview. That's right. It's the Weekly Worldview. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And the chocolate-covered almond was for my vocal cords. Chocolate is well known to enhance the performance of the vocal cords. And so just a little bit of chocolate right before. I ate it a little late after we had already rolled in with the show. But that's what that is for. And this other pile of chocolate-covered almonds I have over here, those are in case my vocal cords need reinforcement during the broadcast. Okay. Just so you know. So, by the way, my name is Doug McBurney. I'm your host. I'm joined in studio, as usual, by my extremely attractive audio engineer, who's done some deep undercover research this week, political research, for the big election coming up. I don't know if you folks are aware there's a big election coming up. Big, huge implications. Probably the most important election of our time. Yeah. I think that's what I heard. Well, from every politician on every side. They all said that. But I can't start with the deep background research, though, because it's politics and it's annoying. I want to start instead with some good news from the war front. The dateline here... Is there a dateline here on this story? Boy, this is... Dateline Afghanistan, Paktika province. A mullah imam of a mosque in Paktika province, Afghanistan, was blown up by his own explosives. And his mother, who was accompanying him, was also killed. Did I do this story on Bob Enyart's show earlier this week? I might have done this story earlier this week, and I'm so giddy and excited about it that I'm doing it again. I'm not sure. Anyway, the imam allegedly had links with the Taliban. The Taliban says he was not blown up by his own explosives, but he was in fact killed by an airstrike led by coalition forces. That's what the Taliban says. Local newspapers say, no, he blew himself up on his way to a relative's house with a bomb strapped to his motorcycle, and his mom was on the motorcycle with him. That would be bad. Having to face Judgment Day with facing Jesus Christ, you were on your way to bomb innocent civilians and you blew up your own mother, and now you've got to face God. That was a rough day for this fellow. This was last week this happened. Folks, the only reason that the vaunted coalition of Western powers may not be defeated quickly is the flat-out incompetence of our enemies. And when you get to a point in a conflict or any situation, any competitive situation, where you are relying on the incompetence of your adversary in order to secure the victory, well, you're in deep trouble. That's all. But the only reason we may not lose before the end of the year, the only reason the Islamists and ISIS may not take Baghdad by the end of this week is their own incompetence and stupidity. It certainly won't be anything that the vaunted coalition powers have done. And that's a sad state of affairs. But we are happy that Maulavi Shururatullah blew himself up on a motorcycle. We're probably happy he blew up his mom, too, since she was accompanying him. And she probably has ties with Taliban as well. So, welcome to Judgment Day for both of those two. And we will move on. Should I go to the deep cover research that my extremely attractive audio engineer produced this week? You didn't realize you were doing deep undercover research work? I've got it right here. She managed to get this document from a political organization. It's addressed to McBurney or current resident.
Oh, no.
It's deep undercover research. that my extremely attractive audio engineer was doing this week. It's a mailer that arrived in the McBurney or current resident box this past week from the National Right to Life Committee, Inc., 512 10th Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20004. Yeah. National Right to Life, have you noticed what their logo is? National Right to Life's logo. It's almost looks to me like the symbol for infinity, which kind of looks like an eight. Infinity, which is how long National Right to Life intends to raise money fighting abortion. Infinity. Yeah, and then it has a little candle in the middle, a tribute to the pagan candlelight vigil. And anyway, they say, vote for a pro-life Congress in big red splash on their mailer. Please be her voice and her vote. And they have a picture of a cute little baby girl. Vote for a pro-life Congress, they say. And on the back they have, let's see, they say, your vote is crucial. Help stop the extreme pro-abortion agenda. Which, that's the agenda National Right to Life Committee lobbies against, is the extreme pro-abortion agenda. That's only the people who want abortion on demand. And you think I'm just saying that because obviously I have a bias against the National Right to Life Committee because they've been making money regulating the murder of innocent people for about 30 years now. They say unborn babies can't vote, but you can vote for Cory Gardner and Mike Kaufman because Cory Gardner opposes abortion on demand. Now, there's some abortion that Corey's okay with. He's okay with some abortifacient pills, even over the counter. Give them to the kiddies. Let's hand them out for Halloween, Corey. Are you 486 for all the little girls? He also is against abortion after 20 weeks. So there's some abortions that Corey's okay with, but it's okay because National Right to Life's okay with those abortions too. And the important thing here is that if you vote for Cory Gardner and Mike Kaufman, who's also against abortion after 20 weeks, if you vote for those two, you'll feel better. And isn't that really what it's about? You feeling better about your pathetic life that you've spent ignoring the fact that innocent people are being slaughtered in your midst? You could just go vote for Cory and Mike and you'll feel better. And you could also make a tax-deductible donation to the National Right to Life Committee. Anyway, do I want to do any more on that? By the way, Andrew Romanoff and Mark Udall, they support abortion on demand and abortion after 20 weeks when babies can feel pain. Those are the abortions that we're against. And don't you want to feel better? Vote with the National Right to Life Committee. Vote Cory Gardner and Mike Kaufman. They'll make you feel like maybe you're stopping some abortions. And isn't that what it's all about? I don't know who I am. I don't know what's going on anymore. It's insanity. But I do want to thank my extremely attractive audio engineer for producing that deep cover background political report. Top secret, I think it was. All right. So we did the good news from the war. Now I have to go right into the bad news from the war because most of the news from the war is really bad news this past week. ISIS is on the, well, let's see, I think I have, well, let's just start with Boko Haram. Nigerian Islamic terrorist group, Boko Haram, destroyed over 180 churches in Nigeria just this past week. 200,000 people were displaced. And approximately 185 churches were seized, destroyed, burned, razed. Priests have been forced to leave their homes in Nigeria. Houses have been looted and burned. Christians are sleeping in uncompleted buildings, camps, and school premises. And Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan has been increasingly criticized for his inaction against the terror group. Well, I said when these Boko Haram Nazi bastard scum, when they kidnapped those girls, I told you people that the world is watching. And if there's a leader who's worth his salt, he'll take this opportunity to lead. And nobody did. Not Barry or the girl Troika who works for him. Who was the woman who was on the Sunday shows again today? It's unbelievable. Susan Rice. Susan Rice was on the Sunday morning talk show Church, the political church shows, you know, they have. Yeah, that's for fiscal conservatives who don't go to church on Sunday morning. They watch Meet the Press and Face the Nation and whatever the other ones are. She was on one of those shows this morning with a straight face. I couldn't believe it. We're living in an alternate, bizarro world. Because in any normal world, she would have been so embarrassed that she would never leave her house for like 5 years. She wouldn't even leave her house. She goes on the Sunday morning broadcast with that communist on NBC. I don't even know his name, and I don't care. I don't know if she was talking about ISIS or Ebola. Oh, by the way, warning. Big warning, folks. There's been a 100% increase in Ebola cases in just the past 24 hours. It's terrifying. 100% increase. We've gone from 1 to 2 cases. It's a pandemic like the world has never seen, according to Barry Ho. I agree that it is being bungled. I would have stopped flights from those countries, and I wouldn't let anybody in with it. But I don't think we need to be scared half to death about it. That's just me. I think we need to be more scared about who we elect in this silly season, electing more humanist, socialist communists who are hell-bent on molesting your children is what they want to do. Yeah, Democrats and socialists and phony baloney Republicans, they represent a clear and present immediate danger to your children and your mom and dad if they're old. Yeah, they're the ones who are going to get a lot of people killed. And then second, I would be worried about Boko Haram and ISIS crossing the Mexican border or crossing the Canadian border. And long before, I'd be worried about Ebola. Yeah, third, I'd be worried about the enterovirus that's being brought over by the illegals flooding across. That's another concern. But none, they all pale in comparison to the humanist socialist liberals who've hijacked the American government and who are going to get us all killed. Case in point, from CNN, they're reporting that, I have a quote from Rear Admiral John Kirby. I don't know much about this guy. My guess is he's probably a brown-nosing piece of human debris. That's how he got to be a Rear Admiral. He kept his nose firmly placed exactly where it needs to be in order to become a Rear Admiral, if you know what I mean. But he probably knows a little bit more about warfare than Barry and Susan Rice and the other girls whose names escape me at the moment who are running the country. He says U.S. airstrikes are not going to save the Syrian city of Kobani from being overtaken by ISIS. He says we need to steel ourselves for that eventuality that this city will fall to ISIS. Airstrikes alone, he said, cannot stop the Islamic militants. Okay, you don't have to be a rear admiral to know that, for crying out loud. Several senior U.S. administration officials said Kobani will soon fall to ISIS, but they downplayed the importance of it. Well, you know, it's just a city right there on the Turkish border, and yeah, it's not even a very big city if that city falls. I mean, we've lost much bigger cities. Have you been to Mosul? Oh, my God. Have you been to Raqqa in Syria? You should see that place. I mean, they've slaughtered everybody. I mean, Kobani, what, they might kill a few thousand. Is it really that big a deal? I'm quoting a senior U.S. administration official. Not what he said in public. So, again, the world is watching. Kobani sits right on the Turkish border and provides a key transport point for supplies and weapons from the Turks, who are definitely, and Afghanistan and all the other Muslim countries who are funneling arms and weapons to the Islamic State. Do I have something from Biden? I guess, should I do that now? The world is watching, ladies and gentlemen. And meanwhile, Joe Biden. I've given this warning to Joe Biden in the past. Mr. Biden, keep in mind that your entire existence is predicated upon lies. You exist. The fabric of your being is one big lie. So be very careful when you speak the truth, because it could ruin your career. This week, he said that U.S. allies, and last week, I'm sorry, he said U.S. allies, including Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates, had funded and armed extremist groups linked to Al-Qaeda, and the whole world went ballistic. He had to go and bow and scrape and apologize, take out his false teeth and say how sorry he was, because he spoke the truth. I had a friend of mine ask me, well, do we have any evidence that Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates has funded armed extremist groups? And I said, evidence? I said, well, first of all, 19 of the 9/11 hijackers were from Saudi Arabia. So let's scratch that one off. Yes, we have evidence. Second, Turkey and the UAE are Muslim countries. Do we need any more evidence? No, we don't need any more evidence. And if you think you need more evidence to know that every one of these Muslim countries has a significant portion of its population that support and fund the Islamic State terrorists, then you, sir, are naive. It's the Weekly Worldview. I am your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you so much for tuning in. More, just to finish up on Joe Biden, United Arab Emirates requested a formal clarification from Biden. Biden then apologized to UAE. Biden then called to apologize to Turkish President Erdogan. And let's see here. Well, the AP says there was no comment from the Saudis because they don't really want... Yeah, they don't really want to even. So here's what's happened, I believe, is that you've got all these countries who wanted to get rid of Hafez al-Assad. Is it Hafez al-Assad or is it the other Assad? I think it's his son. Do you remember his name? No? Anyway, Assad in Syria. Not Hafez. That was his dad, right? It's like 1985. I don't know where I am. Having a flashback. You have all these nations who wanted to get rid of Assad in Syria, but none of them had the stones to go and do it, including the Turks, UAE, Saudi Arabia, the United States. They all wanted to get rid of Assad, but none of them had the guts to go do it themselves. So what did they do? They relied on a bunch of Islamic fanatics to fight for them, and now they've created a monster. It's turned on them, and it will destroy them. It will destroy them. And us! By the way, unless, of course, we change dramatically and go to war. Real war with our boots on the ground. I know, it's easy for me to say, right? I'm old and fat, and I won't be sent into the fight. Well, if we don't go and do it, we're going to have to fight them in the malls here, in the shopping centers, in the schools, in the community centers. Okay, because these people are fanatic terrorists. And they like to cut off one person's head. That's a victory for them.
The devil says.
Yeah, exactly. I do believe Islam is a satanic religion, by the way. I think it's full-on Satanism. By a different name. All right, so there goes Joe Biden. Take your teeth out and go to bed, Joe, moron. Meanwhile, Leon Panetta. So I found out, doing some deep background search, I know. I say Leon Panetta's name, and everyone around here just gets a, you know, you get a bad taste in your mouth. So he's resigned now. He's retired, you know. He's no longer Secretary of Defense or head of the CIA. Anyway, I'm doing some deep background research on Leon Panetta. I found out that the guy was in the Army. He was commissioned as a second lieutenant who was in the Army for 3 years pushing papers at a desk somewhere. And acting like now he has a military pedigree. Anyway, I was shocked that he was ever even in the Army. I would have never guessed. Although it is the Army, they'll take just about anyone, you know, if you got a pulse. Yeah. Anyway, it was part of his ROTC program. Anyway, Leon Panetta has some advice for America. He says, Americans should be braced for a long battle against the Islamic State. He says, quote, I think we're looking at kind of a 30-year war, unquote. Kind of a 30-year war, Leon. You know, it might be better, Leon, if you just shut up. Because, yeah, obviously you don't know. A long battle, 2 years, 14 years, maybe 30. Leon, just shut up. You're retired now. He was out hyping his book, trying to sell books. A Memoir of Leadership in War and Peace by Leon Panetta. Just shut up, Leon. That guy makes me sick. Sycophant. Turning on Barry now. He was a total Barry sycophant. He couldn't say anything bad about Barry while he was collecting a paycheck from him. Now that he's got to go out in the real world and earn a living and try to sell a book that's probably awful. Just awful. Put you to sleep kind of book. The Memoirs of Leon Panetta? Give me a break. For crying out loud. Yeah, I know. You're putting NyQuil out of business. Yeah, can you imagine? The only people who are buying that book are people who hope to get a job by whatever foundation ends up giving Panetta some kind of no-show job. Who's going to buy that book? So he goes out and makes some accusations against Barry just so he can try to sell some books to some unsuspecting morons out there. Just unbelievable. All right, now, let's see. That was Panetta. Ah, yes, a new file here at the Weekly Worldview. This is from the Yeah Right file. Right? You hear a story, and you just, like, you know, like Leon Panetta was in the Army. You go, yeah, right. Okay, I guess technically he was in the Army. Okay. Anyway, here's one from the Yeah Right file. The first female fighter pilot in the United Arab Emirates Mighty Air Force led the strike mission against ISIS this past week, they said, at which point I said, yeah, right, come on, get out of here. Well, seriously, MSNBC's Morning Joe reports it. Now, that's a reliable news source. Morning Joe on MSNBC says Major Miriam Al-Mansouri is the first female fighter pilot in the UAE, and she personally led a coalition strike force against ISIS this past week. That's right. And let's see, this is reported. CNN is reporting this story. Another impeccable, unimpeachable news source. CNN never known to put out any kind of propaganda for the Ho administration, right? CNN, wink, wink, not wink, huh? CNN spoke to Major Miriam Al-Mansouri earlier this year about her work as a fighter pilot for the Muslim Air Force at the United Arab Emirates. And now she's been put up as a poster girl leading the strike force, right? I think she was wearing a Wonder Woman outfit when she was doing it. She had a golden lasso attached to the outside of her F-18 as she led. I like how they put this. She led a strike mission against ISIS. You know, there's no way they could say she led strike missions because we're only averaging one strike mission a week. So that wouldn't have gotten by. Anyway, I doubt very seriously. In fact, I'd be willing to say there is no way on earth that Major Miriam Al-Mansouri led a strike mission against ISIS. I don't believe it at all. Yeah, right. Get out of here with that. That is such obvious propaganda. For all the feminists and liberals who generally don't like war, this is one way to get the war on women crowd on your side. Now they only have to do the report on whether or not Al-Mansouri has access to safe abortions. Then, yes, if Mansouri comes on and says Not only has she led a strike against ISIS, she also supports access for women to safe, clean abortions. Then she'll be a hero with the War on Women crowd. She could go to work for National Right to Life Committee because they support women's access to clean, safe abortions. Yes, absolutely. Let me see. What don't they have? Mike Kaufman voted for a bill to protect children from abortion after 20 weeks when they can feel pain. That's not very clean and nice kind of abortion. The best abortions are before 20 weeks, according to National Right to Life. Those are the kind of abortions that National Right to Life and Major Miriam Al-Mansouri can join in their next press conference as they announce that the National Right to Life Committee has flown an F-18 in a strike against ISIS. And Cory Gardner was the co-pilot. That's how ridiculous it all is. Finally, not finally, is the show over yet? Oh, it just keeps going on. It just never ends. Reason number 823 to get or keep your kids out of the government education system. Two all-female colleges. That's right, I said all-female colleges. Those are still allowed. There are colleges that still acknowledge that there's a such thing as a female, which is, that's something, right, that we can hold on to. At least they say they're female. Anyway, two all-female colleges recently agreed to officially admit male transgendered students. Now, you may ask, what is a male transgendered student? Just that phrase in and of itself begs a question or two or three because it's confusing. Well, let me clarify, because the colleges are clarifying in their official policy. They call these male transgendered students are biological males who dress and act like women. So these are boys who want to be girls, just to be clear. Because a male transgender could come the other way, right? I mean, who knows? All right. This is Oakland, California-based Mills College and a Massachusetts college called Mount Holyoke College launched their new inclusive transgendered policies, and more all-female colleges are expected to follow suit, as you can well imagine. I have a quote from Mount Holyoke President Lynn Pascarella. That's appropriate because Lynn can be a boy or a girl's name. So the president of the college could be a boy, could be a girl. Maybe she's a girl this year, but maybe she'll be a boy next year, right? Hey, this is publicly funded higher education. Lynn says, quote, "We acknowledge that gender identity is not reducible to the body," for which she was given an A+ on her report card, because she is this a quote from her as well during the school? Anyway, the College Fix is the website from whence we acquired this report. They say, "Gone are the days when a person's gender is the one with which they're born." Okay, now the College Fix is somewhat of an anti-flaming liberal leftist website. I'm not going to say it's conservative because there's no such thing as conservatives anymore outside my very small group of friends. There's none. That's it. We're it. There's like 12 of us left on the whole planet. It's us against the world. And I will count my extremely attractive audio engineer in that. So the College Fix is not a conservative website, but it does sometimes try to poke fun or make points about the flaming, hell-bound, homosexual, baby-killing, communist liberals who are going to get us all killed. Once in a while, they like to make a point against them. And they're wrong here, because the days when a person's gender was determined by what they were born with, that these are still those days. Okay, those days are not gone. Only in the minds of these mentally deranged people. But the College Fix reports that today, so-called gender fluidity has become widely acknowledged, accepted, and embraced within the higher education arena. which strives to validate a wide rainbow of sexual and gender preferences. I have another quote here. Who is this from? Mills. I can't tell who this is. This is someone from Mills College. Mills College in Oakland, a spokes dyke for them, says, quote, no, wait, is this a guy? Oh, I'm sorry. This is from the official policy statement. So this isn't a boy or a girl. This is just a document that the college fix quoted. And Mills College in Oakland says the following, quote, fighting gender-based oppression is at the heart of Mills' mission as a women's college. We have a strategic plan, including transgender and gender-fluid students, and ensuring that they have a positive educational experience at Mills. This is important to us. It's our mission. Unquote. I know it's a girls' college, but I think that their policy paper was written by a homosexual man. That was just my impression. So, Mount Holyoke announces that students admitted into their college may now include, may or may not, but it may include biologically born female identifies as a woman, biologically born female identifies as a man, biologically born female identifies as other, biologically born male, oh, I'm sorry, biologically born female that does not identify as either a woman or a man. Wouldn't that qualify as other? How can they have two different categories? Now, they'll also take biologically born male identifies as a woman, biologically born male identifies as other, or anyone biologically born with male and female anatomy, who, as long as they identify as a woman. Which sounds somewhat discriminatory to me, but we'll leave that to the lawyers to discuss. Both colleges do not accept students who are born biologically female who've undergone a sex change to the male gender. They won't take those. What? Hey, you got to draw the line somewhere for crying out loud. My goodness. I mean, you'll have half of San Francisco applying at your school, and who needs that? According to officials at the college, they say the college has no goals or exceptions for how. Okay. According to officials, Mount Holyoke has no goals or expectations for how this new policy will affect their application pool. No goals, no expectations. We're just going to let it roll. Just let it ride, baby. It's the Weekly Worldview. I'm back. I was trying to finish the chocolate-covered almond. Yeah, that's too short of a bumper for if I'm eating the almond.
I'm sorry.
Just so you know. Let's see. We go from that twisted, deranged story to reason number 824. Together, keep your kids out of government schools. I went to a website that provides gender-inclusive training programs for government schools, elementary schools, middle schools, and high schools. They offer gender-inclusive training programs. The website is called genderspectrum.org. If you go there to that website, you will want to renounce your citizenship and move somewhere out of this country. It's so disgusting. This organization says on their website that because there is hermaphroditism. You guys are familiar with this? Maybe not, right? Anyway, there's a genetic deformity in which some very, very few children are born with indeterminate sexual organs or both sexual organs. And it's a deformity. It's an abnormality. And this organization takes that abnormality and puts that on the spectrum of sexuality. And they say, because this abnormality, this deformity, which is related to sin and the fall and the degeneration of our genetic composition, they say this deformity is now normal. And in fact, it's just one point along the spectrum of sexuality, from male to I'm not sure, to I'll do anything, to where are you going tonight, to over to female. Yeah. So they say because this exists, it must be a legitimate point on the all-inclusive spectrum of sexual preference. And then they want to come into the schools and teach your kids that there's boy and girl, those are just two. Hey, kids, we got options. How many different flavors of ice cream do you like? Oh, lots. Well, come on, sit down, kiddos, because we're going to teach you about all the different sexual preferences. Anyway, this disgusting website is genderspectrum.org, and they have programs and policies that reflect gender inclusion for all students. And they'll teach you how to make your school's current practices meet the legal requirements, such as those in California's AB 1266 and or similar laws that may be coming to a state near you. So here's what we have. We have a bunch of lawyers in the legislature who write laws that say that the schools must be gender inclusive. And then you have a bunch of their boyfriends, other homosexual freak lawyers, who set up foundations funded primarily by the government, I'm sure, to go into the schools and teach them how to obey the law and molest as many kids as they can along the way. That's what, in my opinion, genderspectrum.org is all about. And if they're not actually physically molesting children, they are psychologically and spiritually molesting children. And that, I guarantee, they offer general staff training, the Gender Inclusive School, Dimensions of Gender. It's a 90-minute to 2-hour training for staff at your school to learn about all the different dimensions of gender. We also have a portion of the class on perspectives from children, youth, and families about their own gender, where we bring in gender-fluid citizens to teach you about their experience. We'll teach you how to implement various gender-inclusive structural practices around such topics as student records, student trips, and our favorite, locker rooms and restrooms. All right, I'm not going to do any more of this. Hey, this is what's going on in the schools, okay? Yeah, you remember, did you see The Passion of the Christ, where Lucifer was portrayed as an androgynous, perverted sexual maniac? Yeah, those people are in your schools teaching your kids. That's reason number 824. Together, keep your children out of the government school system. And now we move to the politics file, and we'll go to England, formerly the cradle of Western civilization and the birthplace of the English Bible that revolutionized Christendom throughout the world. Formerly all that. In the United Kingdom, lawmakers have adopted sweeping changes to the nation's laws. WorldNet Daily reports that some laws dating back as far as 800 years are having to be updated in response to a pending move to open marriage to same-sex couples. So the folks in the British government, they know it's just a matter of time before homosexual marriage is legal. So they're scrambling to try to change the laws that, they want to make changes in laws that cover inheritance, taxation, society, security, and children. And their laws date back centuries. They have to go back and they have to replace such words as husband and wife. Those words have to be replaced by entire new sections of law. because you just can't say that anymore. Dukes and earls and other male peers may marry other men, but according to the new tweaks they're making in the law, their male partners could not be made duchesses, countesses, or ladies, at least not officially. It would still be considered high treason to sleep with a king's wife, but not with his husband, if they're a homosexual couple. And men in same-sex marriages can be legally called wives, and women may legally be called husbands. The term husband will include a woman who is married to another woman, but not a man married to another man. That would be a wife. Thank you very much. Is there anything more that need be clarified for you, my lady? No, I'll get back to my work updating the royal code. Thank you very much. All right. Is it too disgusting? Okay. My extremely attractive audio engineer is physically repulsed at this point. So that's my cue that it's time to move on to a story about Mike Huckabee. Hey, we'll do Mike Huckabee, right? At least he likes girls and he's not going to make you throw up. Mike Huckabee issued a warning to the Republican Party this past week. This is as reported by ChristianPost.com. He was on an American Family Association radio program, and here's what Mike Huckabee had to say. I am utterly exasperated with the Republicans and the so-called leadership of the Republicans who have abdicated on the issue of bleep. I have to bleep it out because you're so sick of hearing about it. Marriage. Okay, I'll just say marriage, okay? I'm utterly exasperated with the Republicans who have abdicated on the issue of marriage. If the Republicans want to lose guys like me and a whole bunch of still God-fearing and Bible-believing people, just go ahead and abdicate on this issue of marriage. And while you're at it, go ahead and say abortion doesn't matter either, because at that point, you lose me, says Mike Huckabee. Dire warning to the Republican Party. So I want to thank Mike Huckabee, by the way. He sent out a letter, a mass mailer, from Personhood USA this past week in favor of Amendment 67 here in Colorado. So I want to thank Mike Huckabee for that. I want to thank Mike Huckabee for saying to the Republican Party, what are you people thinking about? Are you suicidal? Do you want to lose the Christians? And frankly, Mike, I'm surprised you're still on board. I mean, I'm still a Republican, but I forget why. I think it was so I could vote in the caucus to put the personhood language in the Republican plank platform. I think that's the only reason I'm a Republican. But we appreciate Mike doing, let's see here. Mike says, quote, now here's where I love Mike Huckabee, but like I said, there's only 12 conservatives left in the whole world. I know all of them, and Mike Huckabee ain't one of them. He says if 10% more of evangelicals had voted in the last election, Barack Obama would not have become president. True. The only problem is Mitt Romney would have. That would have been a disaster. Right? That would have been a disaster. Now people say, no, no, at least Mitt Romney would be fighting ISIS. Mitt Romney would have left troops in Iraq. Mitt Romney wouldn't close Guantanamo Bay. Mitt Romney's not openly fighting for the enemy. Well, this is true. Mitt Romney is secretly fighting for the enemy. And Mitt Romney would not fight ISIS effectively. Mitt Romney would not Christianize the Middle East. Mitt Romney would not do what needs to be done. Mitt Romney would further socialism, child killing, and all of the things that conservatives stand against. And by the way, he's a flaming pagan who subscribes to an idiotic religion. Idiotic. Only a complete fool, moron, bozo, idiot could buy that load of crap that, what's his name? John Smith? Biff Smith? Jack Smith? What was his name? That con man from the early 1800s? You people got to be kidding me with that. Anyone who buys into that load cannot be trusted with the reins of power. That's for certain. Like an angel.
like an angel. Walk like an angel. Talk like an angel. But I got wise. You're the devil in disguise. Oh, okay. Yes, you are.
It's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you very much, Mr. Presley. I certainly appreciate that. What? That's how you tell a conservative, by the way. Conservatives think the 50s were liberal, a threat to society. Hey, and there is a certain amount of truth in the fact that when parents started to allow teenage girls to stand in large groups and scream and chase these idols like Elvis and the Beatles, and that certainly changed things in America forever. There's been no turning back since then. It's been a snowball on its way down a hill toward the rim of hell since parents allowed their daughters to start doing that. All right, now who was it? Not Mitt Romney, Mike Huckabee. We go from Mike Huckabee to the Kill All the Lawyers file, which is a popular file these days at the Worldview. And from the Kill All the Lawyers file this week is lawyer Ted Cruz. He's a Texas senator, and he says he's going to follow through with a promise to push federal legislation to define marriage. And it's a little more convoluted than that because Ted's a lawyer, and governance is so convoluted anymore that he's actually pushing federal legislation to protect state laws that define marriage. But let's just say he says he's standing up for traditional marriage. Let's put it that way. And this comes after, you all remember last week, the U.S. Supreme Court let stand rulings that struck down same-sex marriage. See how convoluted it is? They let stand rulings that struck down same-sex marriage bans. It's no wonder people can't follow this, for crying out loud. But we all know what happened last week. The Supreme Court stood up and endorsed homosexual marriage. Not to put too fine a point on it, so all you low-information morons can follow the story, but that's what it's all about. Roberts, what's his name? Justice John Roberts? He basically crawled into bed with Elton John on national television. Think of that, you low-information idiots. That's what happened last week. Just so you people can relate. Well, Ted Cruz is now coming out and says he's going to be the one to defend traditional marriage. The senator claims that his effort to... What's his effort again? I can't even... Oh, to protect state laws that define marriage. He says his effort is more about the rule of law than his personal belief. And that, I believe. Here's what Ted Cruz says about marriage between a man and a woman in his new crusade that's attracting conservative fundraisers from all points. Ted says, quote, in my view, so right there, Ted, stop. You just lost the argument. I don't really care what your view is, Ted. I want to see you standing up for principles that are tried and true and time-tested, endorsed, in fact, from the foundation of the earth. Godly principles is what I want to hear, Ted, not your view, you lawyer. But here's what Ted says. In my view, marriage is a question for the states. And listen, different states will make different policy judgments. Marriage law should reflect the values and morals of the citizens of each state. And the citizens of California may well choose a different definition of marriage than we do here in Texas. Let the queers in California burn in hell for all I care. I mean, I'm here for Texas. Let them all catch AIDS and syphilis and die. So he says in California they may define marriage differently than folks in Texas. All right, so this, let's see. Did I already do Rand Paul? I don't think I did Rand Paul yet. Well, Rand Paul came out and said, he basically said he has no problem with the morning after pill. RU486. He said, no, that's fine. You know, I believe life begins at conception, but hey, that's like taking four birth control pills, right? One in the morning, one in the evening, and that. So now that we report on Ted Cruz, I think I can officially declare that there are no conservatives left in the Republican Party. I know Ted Cruz was the last hope of all you people. Him and Rand Paul, right? That was it. So now there are no conservatives. Although I have not heard Louie Gohmert on abortion and homosexual marriage, so I'm willing to extend the possibility that maybe Louie Gohmert is the only one left. I don't know. Since I haven't heard him on it, I kind of doubt it. But let's try not to dash everyone's hopes 100% here. We'll hold out hope that there is one Republican left who's actually a conservative and doesn't think it's okay for Californians to define marriage as something perverted, corrupt, and destructive so that they destroy themselves and their children and they all die and burn in hell forever. Ted Cruz doesn't mind, though. Of course, this is just his view, so you know, take it for whatever it's worth. He says, finally, Ted Cruz said, in putting the final nail in the coffin of conservatism, having anything to do with the Republican Party, Ted says, quote, and it shouldn't be unelected federal judges making up rights that are not in the Constitution simply to impose their own social policy agenda, unquote. Okay, well, if unelected judges shouldn't make up rights, well, who should, Ted? The legislature? You seem to be okay with that. The voters? Ted, you're okay if the voters in California define marriage as between one man and three dogs and a girl and a horse and a pig. But it's just Ted's view. That is the conclusion this week for the Kill All the Lawyers file. And of course, we mean that metaphorically, not literally. Now, on to the personhood file. The University of California, San Francisco, is launching an online abortion course this Monday. The course will delve into medication abortion, aspiration abortion, post-abortion contraception, and pain management for abortion. So this is basically an online course where the average layman can go and learn how to perform abortions. Yes, 3,000 people have signed up for this six-week class. It's titled Abortion, Quality Care and Public Health Implications. And it's designed, they say, for any clinician, physician, health worker, or student who want to acquire baby-killing skills. Oh, wait, I made that part up. Who will care for women of reproductive age. So this is very subtle, but this appears to be, you know, that medical doctors who perform abortions are becoming fewer and farther in between every day because abortion is distasteful, and insane protesters like myself who have protested at abortionist house in their front yard for decades have made it very difficult for the abortion industry to recruit medical doctors. So this is what I predict, and this course is just an example of where the public's mind is going. The majority of people in the country are wicked. They're evil, and they want abortion. And so abortion will soon be allowed, and I think Ted Cruz is okay with this. If California may do it different than Texas, but abortion will be allowed to be performed by people other than medical doctors. Not even nurse practitioners, not even nurses. It'll be people who've taken a class. DIY. A DIY abortion. That's what's coming. Why? Because the people have an insatiable appetite for innocent blood because of their selfishness. And this reminds me of a truth that many people are unaware of. They think it was the courts and some early legislatures who made abortion legal. And the fact is that Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court, that never declared that abortion was legal. It just said that women had a special right to privacy under the penumbra of the animation, or however that all goes. They never wrote a law saying it was legal. They just gave people a passive green light, and it was the people who wanted to kill their children. It's the people. It's the American people want to kill their children. Politicians who say we can trust the American people, keep in mind that the American people want to kill their children. And that's why abortion is tolerated. And that's why it became legalized. Not because the Supreme Court said so, but because the people demanded it. Democracy in action. Now we go to California from WorldNet Daily, where they report that California has changed its state health insurance rules. So, wait, don't let your eyes glaze over just because I mentioned insurance. The new insurance rules will require that churches pay for elective abortions. And the Alliance Defending Freedom, they're all upset. The lawyers there are all upset. They say, forcing a church to be party to elective abortion is one of the utmost unimaginable assaults on our most fundamental American freedoms, said a lawyer. Senior counsel from Alliance Defending Freedom, who's so full of crap, his eyes are brown. Unimaginable? Really, sir? It's hardly unimaginable. All you lawyers who have bamboozled Christians and other organizations under the Hyde Amendment for the past 25 years, 30 years, convincing all of us or trying to convince us that our tax dollars, all your tax dollars aren't being used for abortion because we, the lawyers, stood up and made sure that the Hyde Amendment was passed. You're all so full of crap, you make me sick. They've been spending our money on abortion from day one. Since the government began funding abortion, Christians, churches, everyone else have been forced to fund it. And you lawyers are liars. And you people at Alliance Defending Freedom, you lie to people and you raise money and you act like you're doing good. And meanwhile, there isn't a single abortion you've ever prevented. You make me sick. So now these lawyers stand up and they say, wow, the Californians, they're ignoring federal law. They're flagrantly violating federal law. They're making us pay for abortions. Can you believe this? Send us a donation so that we can litigate against this. Make me sick. Oh, and here's the threat the lawyer makes. He says, no state can blatantly ignore federal law and think that it should continue to receive taxpayer money. So is that what this is about over there at the Alliance Defending Freedom? You want to threaten California? You want to threaten to cut off their federal funds because they're allegedly violating some amendment that's meaningless? This is the state of the pro-life movement. It's literally become an industry where the Christians and the people who are against abortion, our money's being taken from us and used for abortion right in front of our face. And our own lawyers, from our own foundations that we founded to stop abortion, they tell us, no, no, your money's not being used. But look, they're going to try to use some of it. They're going to try to make you pay. So hire us. We'll go litigate for you. Make a donation. Disgusting. Disgusting. It's a wonder that the ISIS flag is not already flying over the White House with the moral and spiritual vacuum that exists at the highest levels of power and influence in our society. It's a wonder we haven't already been conquered by the barbarians. All right, I've got more stories, but I'm not going to have time because I got upset and I went off on all this stuff. But I will save these, and I will do some of these stories on Bob Enyart's show this week. I'll get over there at some point this week. So be sure to tune in if you're in Denver, AM 670 KLT at 3 o'clock. Online, you'll be able to catch us over at KGOV.com. And as we come to the end, one more good news story from the war. A prominent Taliban member has revealed his location in Pakistan by sending tweets that were unintentionally geotagged. Yes. Zubiullah. The man's name is Zubiullah Mujahid. Did I get that? Zubiullah Mujahid. He's one of Taliban's key spokesmen. And he sent out tweets to his 6,000 followers. And he wasn't aware that there was a feature on his app that was turned on that basically said he was in Pakistan. Now, he says that's all a lie. He's actually in Afghanistan. But Twitter, the Twitter app, says he's in Pakistan. And as far as I know, still no drone strike, and I'm not sure why. But again, it's as if we're relying on the incompetence of the enemy to ensure our own victory. And that's kind of scary. Now, finally, Pink Floyd is releasing their first studio album in two decades, and it will feature the vocals of physicist Stephen Hawking. That's right. In a song entitled Talkin' Hawkin', Stephen Hawking's electronically enhanced voice will appear on the new Pink Floyd record, which I find interesting because I think that with Stephen Hawking being an almost insane with paranoia maniac, appearing on what will probably be the final Pink Floyd album, that would provide a poetic bookend to Pink Floyd's entire career, reign of terror, whatever you want to call it, sick, disgusting influence on society. It will provide a poetic bookend because, if you remember, the founder of Pink Floyd was one Syd Barrett, and he went insane after their first album. He literally went completely crazy, and he had to leave the group in 1968, and he went into the hospital, and all the guys in the band said, Syd's gone insane. So they think he took too much LSD, and he just lost his mind. So that represents the first part of Pink Floyd's career. And now, insane, paranoid, afraid of artificial intelligence, Stephen Hawking will appear on their final album, and then they'll all die, and we can just move on. And should the Lord tarry, I'll be back next week. I want to thank my friends at KGOV, Denver Bible Church, American Right to Life, and of course my other brother Daryl, who makes it all happen here at the Weekly Worldview Studios. And if the Lord does tarry, I'll be back next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.